This is the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED and 99.3 KCMD.
The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com. 12 minutes after 7. By the way, my email program finally gave me back the Reverend David LaBarbera's email of the day that I was trying to read to you, and then it just vanished from the screen. Must have been just like how Facebook just vanished for a couple of hours. Weird. But anyway, the Reverend David says, Bill, just saw an article about Merrick Garland, and he's vowing to fight voter ID laws because they are a disadvantage to minorities. And what he really meant to say is that they are a disadvantage to Democrats. They can't cheat. Yeah, minor detail like that. All right, David, appreciate your writing the email, Bill, at BillMyersShow.com, as long as the system doesn't suck them away from my screen as I'm trying to read them on air. But that's my problem. Kevin Starrett is here, Oregon Firearms Federation. And, you know, it's interesting with Merrick Garland talking about the fact that voter ID laws, you know, we just don't really need them. It disadvantages minorities and people of color and things like that. And it's a good thing he's not on the Supreme Court, but... you had an interesting take on that, too. Isn't that right, Kevin?
Oh, Bill, you can't buy a can of compressed air in Fred Meyer without photo ID. I think the right to pick your next elected legislators or president should come with that same request. And this idea that minorities are disadvantaged by having to have ID is so, I mean, not only is it racist and condescending, but it's absurd, you know, to say, oh, you're black or Hispanic, you can't figure out how to get a driver's license.
You're incapable. You are incapable of following the rules. Okay, yeah, we just can't do that.
And that's because, as you remember, you know, they were telling us, well, black people don't have access to computers. And you mean, I'm sure that if you stopped the average person who was a minority and said, are you capable of getting ID? They would be really insulted. You know, the whole thing's just flatly absurd. But if you want to promote voter fraud, if you want to make sure that people here illegally can vote and pick the next president who will enrich them, mm-hmm. you make sure that there's no requirement to demonstrate that you actually are legally qualified to do so.
Oh, by the way, there's another little thing. When you're the Secretary of State of Oregon, you end up having rules that goes down to the counties that say, you know, you really can't look at the ballots without spending $1 million in Jackson County to hand go through all of them first to make sure there's no personally identifiable information on it. Because, you know, having to pay $1 million to look at the ballots of what is supposedly the most transparent election system in history, well, that would be racist and insensitive also. So, you know, kind of things
everything's racist in it. Yeah, it's all racist and insensitive. And, of course, the Secretary of State is now professionally on the bandwagon for gun banning. So, you know, what do you expect? And when you think about the Secretary of State, who has instituted this spying program, you know, which mm-hmm. the intention of which is to look at all your social media posts, and now they're in the gun ban business. Well, I wonder if the social media posts can be, that data can be combined with their efforts to ban guns. Just a concept, you know?
Oh, I don't think it's crazy to even connect a few dots and look at what's going on. In fact, one of the challenges that I think we've had with some of our Republican colleagues, our friends in, well, at least we hope they're going to be our friends in the state legislature, trying to defend against the bloodthirsty Democrats currently in charge by majority, big majorities for the most part, is that there appears to be a lack of imagination as to how craven their Democratic colleagues on the other side of the aisle can be. And you end up getting all sorts of statements coming from them. Well, almost like I want to minister to the Democrats rather than you just want to defeat them and stop their policies from going into effect. Have you noticed a bit of that going on for a while on the Republican side of things?
Oh yeah, for years. I mean, there are one or two who are, you know, very openly pointing out what's going on, and the rest of them just refuse to acknowledge the depths of the depravity. And now, I mean, we literally have legislators whose main interest is in maintaining their relationships with the Democrats who truly, some of these people are demonic. I mean, the promotion of the sexual mutilation of children, and then you've got Republicans voting for that. And now, as if things could not get any worse, we see the reemergence of that, you know, narcissistic, vapid ginger Christine Drazen, who wants to come back and bump out a pro-Second Amendment candidate who replaced her when she decided to take off and run for governor.
Yeah, James Hebe. Yeah, James Hebe there. Wants to get rid of him. Probably figures that it would be like kicking a puppy out of the state legislature.
Well, she's clearly going to have the money and the cartel and the lobby behind her. And I, you know, I know James and I know Drazen and I know she's kind of bloodthirsty and I don't know what her what she plans to do to defeat him. But this is a guy who supported her against my advice, by the way. He supported her when she ran for governor. And now she comes back and she's going to go, but let's remember that this is a woman who wants to come back saying that she can in good conscience really stand by while the state declines. This is a woman who voted to neuter the police, who voted to promote, to protect a staffer of Tina Kotek who was arrested at an Antifa riot, who voted to put tampons in little boys' bathrooms and lied about it. This is somebody who claims she's going to come back and protect Oregon. I mean, it's absolutely, it's really, really chilling. And there's no doubt that, you know, the caucus is going to support this kind of stuff. And then what do we have? And so James Hebe, who has been, you know, certainly, I have not agreed with all his votes, but I think his principles are sound. And he's certainly an advocate for the Second Amendment. I don't think he would vote to neuter the police as Christine has. I don't think that after the false conviction of Derek Chauvin after the George Floyd trial, he would tweet guilty. Justice has been served, like Drazen has.
Drazen did that. And people forget about these kind of things. And I have a feeling that Republicans have very short memories on such things. And you have to be very careful about who you consider your friends these days. You just have to, because the system is so compromised.
I got an email from a Clackamas County Republican who, just a day or so ago, who said that he was in a meeting with Drazen very recently where she was claiming she was finished with politics, which, of course, was nonsense because she's got an organization that puts out regular emails that is a political organization. But, you know, you've got this is what the Republicans allow to go on. You've got a sitting incumbent legislator who has actually, for the most part, been pretty staunchly aligned with conservative values, and power hungry Drazen, who just can't keep her sticky little fingers out of stuff, is going to come back. And, you know, he found out she was going to run. She didn't say, "Hey, James, I'm thinking about running." She called him up and said, "Hey, guess what? I'm running, dude."
In other words, I want my seat back. I'm taking my seat back. Yeah. You had it for for one season. That's it. Okay.
Yeah.
And this comes into, I was commenting on a blog, about these challenges. And one of the issues that I think the Republican base has the most difficulty coming to grips with is that the Republican Party as a governing force is not a conservative traditional organization, whether at the state level or even at the national level. But a lot of the base is conservative and traditional, but the system itself and the party itself is not particularly conservative. Isn't that one of our biggest challenges out there?
It's true, and it really never has been. But if you look at the platform of the Oregon Republican Party, there's probably nothing there that you or I would disagree with. Mm-hmm. The problem is the platform is utterly meaningless. Nobody, you know, the people, I think you've moderated debates where I guess it was Gomez was asked, "Have you read the Republican Party platform?" And she said yes. And, of course, she is antithetical to everything that's in it. So the party does nothing to police that. A person said, the party defends people who claim to be Republicans, and that's all we have to do is defend that because we've got to elect more Republicans.
All you have to do is claim to be a Republican. Whether or not you will actually govern or have the principles of Republicanism is a different story. That's never really
exactly
plumbed.
I mean, you know, the caucus promoted Charlie Conrad, and this is a guy who's voted to sexually mutilate children, and so the caucus promoted him, and the party stood by and allowed it to happen. And this is what happens all the time. What really is the purpose of the party?
Because if all you're going to do is count the R's rather than the actual principles of those R's, then
exactly.
You know, nothing really changes. You know? Yeah. Okay. But you see, the point being, though, in the Democratic Party, I would say they were probably considerably more aligned ideologically than in the Republican Party. Would that be fair to say, given your experience of watching the Capitol?
I think if you look at the vote histories, now, what goes on behind closed doors in the Democratic caucus, obviously I cannot say. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the vote histories, it's the Democrats vote pretty much always in a block. You know, they're given their marching orders. It's very, very rare to see Democrats voting on both sides of an issue. And this is something anyone can research. Go on the legislative website, pick a vote, and look at the vote count. Where that's not true of Republicans. You know, Republicans vote on both sides of issues all the time. So there's no unanimity. There's no kind of enforcement. The Republican, quote, leadership cannot make Republicans vote the same way. Mm-hmm. And so there's plenty of bills where you have people, Republicans, voting on both sides. You very rarely see that with the Democrats. And in fact, the only time in my memory recently that I've seen Democrats voting on both sides of the issue was a recent vote to withdraw a bill from committee. So the Democrats had their supposed fix for Measure 110, which is no fix at all, of course. It's window dressing. And the Republicans had their version. Well, of course, the Republicans' version is never going to move because it's a Republican version. So a motion with the bill gets assigned to a committee, and there it sits. And if the committee chooses not to act on it, nothing happens. But there's a procedure where a person can request that bill be taken out of committee and brought to the floor for a vote.
And what does that accomplish to do that? What does that accomplish?
What it accomplishes is, theoretically, if the bill is brought to the floor for a vote, it theoretically could pass. It probably won't, but theoretically it could. But the reason that motion is typically made is so that a bill which otherwise would never be voted on at least has a recorded vote. Like if I vote against moving it to the floor, I've essentially voted against the bill. And then that vote can be used to demonstrate where somebody stands.
Ah, so in other words, it would be like, let's say if it was a gun bill, right? You know, I voted for the gun bill and before I voted against it, right? That kind of conversation
what it would say is that if there's a bill that says we'll save the puppies, and the committee refuses to let that bill be voted on or refuses to act on the bill in any way. If you make a motion that says, I want to take that bill out of committee, now you're not voting on the bill. All you're voting on is the right to vote on the bill. If you vote against that, then you've basically voted against the puppies. And then you can, a political opponent can use that vote to say that Senator Schmertz voted against the puppies. Now, in all the years that I've been involved in Oregon politics, I don't remember a single time when a Democrat voted in favor of a Republican motion to do that. I just don't remember one. And recently, a motion was made to take the Republicans' drug bill to overturn 110, to take that out of committee and vote for it. And weirdly, a whole bunch of Democrats voted in favor of that motion.
Well, that had to have been trying to fool the voters that they were actually serious about changing 110. Could that be that?
Well, of course that's what it was. And this is what was so carefully choreographed, so that a whole bunch of Democrats voted with the Republicans, but one less than they needed to pass the bill.
Ah, okay.
And then there was some weirdness that went on because the Republicans claimed that one of their members' vote was not counted. The Democrats claimed that she voted too late. And then because apparently there's a procedure where you can introduce that motion again if there's reason to believe that the outcome would possibly be changed. So they made the motion again because now this Representative Elmer was there on the floor and ready to vote. Well, they made the motion again, and you would think that because she was there and voting, that one additional vote would be available. But strangely, Rep. Evans, who is a hardcore anti-gun Democrat, switches his vote, and now it fails again.
So this was a total choreographed making the appearance that we want to be serious on Measure 110, even though we have no real intent of
exactly.
Of really repealing.
I mean, it was completely set. I mean, look, Janelle Bynum, a virtual Marxist hardcore race baiting liberal voted in favor of this Republican motion. Absolutely absurd. No chance in 10,000 hell she'd support a Republican. But what is Janelle Bynum doing? She's running for Congress in a very difficult district, you know, where currently a Republican has that seat. So she didn't want that vote used against her. And that was all set up well in advance. And it was, I mean, the whole process of these two motions took a long time because the House went into, you know, they stood at ease and went into recess or whatever so that they could make sure their plans were intact and they had the right number of votes. And so this is a procedure that, you know, I think is a useful thing to do to get people on the record. And the Republicans have used it in the past. But in this case, of course, the Democrats knew it was coming, had the votes all set up, and decided who could afford to vote no on it. And that's exactly what happened.
They're pretty smart when it comes to the appearances and doing the right things to give the appearance of political cover. Yeah, they're pretty good at that, aren't they? Really good.
Well,
gotta admire them.
I mean, if you understand...
You have to admire their cravenness. I mean, they understand. They understand power.
Well, no, they absolutely get procedure. They absolutely get all of that. And in the past, when Herman Bartschinger was Senate Republican leader, he understood it too and used it well. And since then, the Republicans have just been failing at everything.
Sorry to hear that.
But don't worry. But don't worry because
Christine Drazen wants to come back. All right. Yeah. Okay. All right. Hey, Kevin, I wanted to talk about your latest alert here before we take off. And this is really interesting because you know how we were talking in the beginning why Republicans have to really wise up and connect dots to where their proposed legislation could end up leading in certain things when it comes to Second Amendment rights and firearms. And I think we can look at this informational hearing that you were writing about yesterday on extreme risk protection orders. All right. And there have been Republicans that have been pushing this in the past. Well, Boquist has certainly been, you know, a big part of this. Right. Tell us.
It was Boquist's bill.
Yeah. Boquist's bill. Yeah.
Sponsored by Boquist. Yeah.
And of course, former Republican. And frankly, I don't know what he's thinking, you know, these days. But explain how, you know, it's like. Someone is concerned about suicide or something else. The Republican writes a bill, and then it ends up being completely going the direction the Democrats would like. And tell us about this informational hearing, because you can figure it's going to happen next year in the next long session. Okay,
well, just to be clear, you know, having a bill turned into something that it wasn't intended to be does not apply in this case, because when Boquist, who at the time was a Republican and is now an independent, promoted this bill, I mean, the bill passed pretty much as he required it. He wanted to have people's guns taken away based on unfounded accusations or unproven accusations. And so, and at the time when he pushed this bill, by joining with the most liberal Democrats, people said, well, wait a minute. Here's what basically the bill says is that a person who is a family member or household member or a police officer can accuse you of being a danger to yourself or others, and then the police show up at your house and say you have 24 hours to turn over your guns.
Okay.
You have no due process, and the only way you can respond to this is by hiring your own attorney and going to court and somehow proving that you're not a danger to yourself or others. This is the bill as Boquist wanted it. And at the time, people said, well, wait a minute. Isn't this going to be prone to abuse? I mean, can't this be used by angry ex-wives? And Boquist very specifically ridiculed those people. And said, no, that's not going to happen. And if you live with your angry ex-wife, you've already got a problem. Well, first of all, people do live with angry ex-spouses. That happens. That's not uncommon for people who are going through a divorce to be sharing a house.
As a matter of fact, I had that happen once about 30 years ago. I was up in Seattle. We lived together for a while. And no, it was not fun.
Yeah,
it was not.
Even in its original incarnation, that was still a threat, as was the threat. But the other thing that you know, people were ignoring is that what if your angry ex-spouse was now living with a cop, right? The cop could get the ERPO against you. Well, now what the informational hearing went to is like, how do we expand all this so that other people can make these unfounded accusations? And remember, people who lose their rights and their property haven't even been accused of, let alone convicted of a crime. It's all pure speculation.
And it's someone saying it's he said, she said, she said, he said, or whatever, right? That kind of thing.
Well,
that's all it is.
You know, the person who makes this demand that your rights be taken away does it on their own. You're not in court defending yourself.
Mm-mm.
You don't get the opportunity to discuss defending yourself until after you've basically been punished. And so I don't know where anybody thinks there's some due process here. I mean, if you get incarcerated after being arrested for a crime, you've actually been accused of doing something illegal. But in this case, you haven't even been accused of anything. And the fact is that if you truly are dangerous and somebody has the ability to have the cops come and take your firearms away, you're still there safe. You know, you're not incarcerated in any way. You're still capable of being dangerous and violent. So it actually achieves nothing but embarrassing and humiliating the person you claim is already a danger to yourself or others.
But I think that's the point of the abuse that the ERPAs can do, right?
Well, you know, at the time this bill was being passed, a Republican senator said, well, wait a minute. We need an amendment here. If you're going to accuse a family member of being mentally ill, then some attempt has to be made to connect them with some kind of professional services. And the Democrats said, no, we won't even consider that.
So all the Democrats want to do is have guns seized from people. And you figure the more this happens, it's another burden then on the right to keep and bear arms. That's really all it is. Just another burden placed on it.
Well, you know, one of the things that most people don't know about this bill is that if this accusation is made and your property and your rights are taken away, because there's some accusation that you have some mental problem, if you go get an assessment from a mental health professional that says, no, you're perfectly fine, it is unlawful for you to use that in your defense.
Really?
Now, that's just purely nuts.
You can't defend yourself, in other words. You have no way of defending yourself against an untrue accusation. What could be an untrue accusation?
Well, certainly not by using, an assessment from a mental health professional. But now what the informational hearing was about was expanding the group of people who can make the accusation to officially include ex-spouses, ex-intimate partners, and now medical personnel. So, you know, the nurse's assistant at your doctor's office sees an off patch on your jacket and makes the accusation, and the next thing you know, the cops are there banging on your door saying, we're taking your guns. So the suggestions that were made at the hearing is that we have a new enforcement that says after you've had your rights taken away, you then have to go to court and swear that you've given up all your guns. They want to expand the number of people who can make the accusation. And now what they want to say is that if a minor is considered to be dangerous, they take the parents' guns away. And the only people who are allowed to testify at this informational hearing, which was announced so late that even Senator Lithicum wasn't able to be there, there was practically nobody at the hearing except all the people who came with their PowerPoint presentations who knew that this hearing was coming, except, you know, the people didn't. You know, what we have now is just this massive expansion of the universe of people who can make these accusations.
Now, it's not in the law yet, but you can figure it's going to be next year, right? That'll be coming.
I'm quite confident it's going to be next year.
All right. Yeah. I appreciate you raising the issue here so people can know about it. And, you know, quit pretending that these political opponents of yours are just, well, you know, they just want people to be safe. Right, Kevin? You know, it's just, I got to reach across the aisle.
If you just look at the universe of what's happening in our country. Now, you and I have talked many times that we are not blind followers of Donald Trump. Plenty of issues and disagreements with things that he's done. But the machine that's against him now, the Democrat machine, that has made it clear that they will stop at nothing to maintain power. And it's the same kind of mentality that we see in the state, where if you look at the people who've been tasked with administering certain programs in the state, the people who run agencies, the people who will administer the Measure 110 dollars, these people are freaks, the dangerous, weird people. The state is completely under the control of some really, really weird, dangerous people. And every effort is made constantly to make sure that Republicans could do nothing about it, like changing the voting age and, you know, making sure that there's no voter ID.
No ID, all that kind of stuff. Well, you see, and even
Republicans
then,
refuse to acknowledge it.
Yeah, and even then, you're making the case on why I'm telling listeners here in Southern Oregon, the Democrat charter changes, the three that are in Jackson County, and the Democrat charter change in Josephine County, 17-116. It's all about going to 5 and, you know, going nonpartisan and all the rest of it. You have to say no. You have to understand, because you're right. The state is controlled by freaks. Freaks and pretty nasty people right now, and they're the ones that are pushing these intrusions in our county too. And I know we haven't talked about that before, but, you know, that's you're just making it clear yet another reason why you cannot give them their way on this. You just can't. You can't allow it to happen.
You know, I think if you look at a bill and it's confusing, you don't understand what it does, if Democrats support it, it's safe to oppose it. I mean, it, you know, 99.9% of the time, that's going to be a good way to go. And unfortunately, that's not what we're seeing. We're seeing constantly, you know, Republicans co-sponsoring Democrat bills, and the Democrats' agenda moves ahead, and the Republicans say, well, there's nothing we can do because we're in the minority. It says, okay, fine, then stay home.
And then if you vote for more Republicans and they end up being Christine Drazen types, it's like nothing's going to change. It'll just be more ours. That's all.
More Drazens, more Charlie Conrads, more Emily McIntyres, you know, those kind of people who absolutely, I mean, let's not forget, it was Drazen who made that ridiculous deal with Kotek that Kotek reneged on. And what did you think was going to happen, you know? And even after that, they still have that same attitude that, well, we're going to work with these people.
Yeah. But on the other hand, David Brock Smith is still a senator in there. And, of course, when asked why he wouldn't walk out, I've been working to get here forever, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, David Brock Smith is about David Brock Smith. You know, and now we've got a situation where Brock Smith is involved in all these deals with the Chinese who are sending countless numbers of military-age single men into our country illegally. I mean, at some point does someone say, yeah, we probably shouldn't be making deals with these people.
Yeah, yeah. Back away from the Chi-Coms. I mean, really? Okay. And so, Kevin, that's why I talk with you about this. It's kind of far-reaching. It's not just about guns, but it's all connected. All right? And thank you so much. In fact, I'm going to be talking with State Senator Linthicum here in a couple of minutes. I'm going to rouse him up on the Skype and continue with the latest from there, okay? I appreciate your take on it, as always.
Give him my best.
All right, sure will. OregonFirearms.org, Kevin Starr at 738 KMED KCMD.
When you shop Grover Electric and Plumbing, you're backed with a 70-year reputation of customer service, quality products, and everyday low prices. You need it? Grover has it in stock. Solving everyday electrical and plumbing problems is no problem. Contractors and do-it-yourselfers agree. Grover is the store for me. For a location near you, visit groverelectric.com.
If you're considering a new garage door or opener for a new home or remodel, you can't go wrong with American Industrial Door. With their fleet of trucks and technicians in both Josephine and Jackson counties, they can come to you and provide recommendations and samples. Or you can stop by their showroom and explore all of the amazing options. Do what so many other Southern Oregon homeowners have done for nearly 40 years. Trust American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc., specializing in new construction and roofing. Are you looking for a reliable and experienced roofing company for your roofing projects? Stephen Westfall Roofing, Inc. in Central Point is here to ensure you will live under a long-lasting roof, using the best materials in the market based on performance and quality to keep the project within your budget and avoid additional cost. Call today and receive your estimate tomorrow. Westfall gets it done. 601-9108. CCB number 230804.
If you're searching for a property with a well, don't make a decision without a well flow test from Siskiyou Pump Service. Well flow testing is necessary in assessing the performance and reliability of the system. Real estate lenders often require flow validation to ensure it meets their criteria. Siskiyou Pump Service, with over a half century of dedicated service in Southern Oregon, are your go-to experts for a comprehensive well flow test that provides crucial insights into capacity, yield, and functionality. Visit SiskiyouPump.com.
Lithia Body and Paint knows that the dent in your car is bugging you. Here's some good news. You may have a ding or dent that's quick and affordable to fix. Lithia has special tools to carefully pop out dents and dings in your car, often without damaging the paint. From major collision repair to small dings from a baseball, shopping cart, or mailbox, bring it by Lithia Body and Paint and we'll let you know what it's going to take to fix it. You may be pleasantly surprised. Service, speed, accuracy. That's Lithia Body and Paint on Bullock Road in Medford.
KMED, KCMD News, sponsored by Millett Construction, specializing in foundation repair and replacement. Get on solid ground by visiting MilletConstruction.com.
Good morning. I'm Marcus Villa with your NBC5 Morning News Update. State Senator Jeff Golden held a virtual town hall meeting Monday night. He discussed different bills from this legislative session and answered questions. This includes Senate Bill 1537 concerning land use and housing, and House Bill 4002, which ends decriminalization for drug use and offers fixes to Measure 110. Senator Golden says he voted for HB 4002 and broke down the proposed intervention plan. He says that action needed to be done to address the drug crisis and that the bill is a step in the right direction. Golden wrapped up the town hall, encouraging people to research the bills and what they mean to our communities. A local junior hockey team is stranded in Nevada after their bus broke down, but the community is stepping up to help get them home. The Rogue Valley Royals were traveling back to Medford from a playoff tournament in Nevada over the weekend when their bus broke down in a remote area near Elko. The team had nowhere to stay, and the bus couldn't be fixed, but luckily a local sheriff's deputy was able to coordinate with a local business to get them transportation to a hotel. Since then, one of the staff members of the team set up a GoFundMe. It has raised over $9,300 so far. Ruddle says her husband, who is traveling with the team, is in the process of getting travel vans for the team and a U-Haul for their gear. She says they expect to make their way back to the Rogue Valley today. And for NBC5 News, I'm Marcus Villa. Have a great Wednesday.
This hour of the Bill Meyer Show is proudly sponsored by Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros and Full Service Auto Repair.
Hi, it's Jason at Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros. If you're wondering about the condition of your tires, stop in and we'll check your tread level and give you an honest assessment on wear and ability to navigate icy, slick roads. And if you need new tires, Phoenix Auto Center has a great selection of top brands like General, Hercules, Cooper, Falcon, Mastercraft, BF Goodrich, and more. For the best tire prices and service, see your local, family-owned Phoenix Auto Center Tire Pros on Main in Phoenix.
If you're remodeling your house, start with the foundation. Millett Construction offers a no-pressure, thorough inspection of your home's foundation and a no-obligation estimate if your house needs work. The foundation is most important because all of the repairs and upgrades you're planning, from the floors, windows, doors, cabinets, even the roof, can be affected if your foundation is unstable. Be sure you're on solid ground. Millett Construction will level your house and correct the shifting soil problem. Visit MilletConstruction.com.
Thanks, Jan. I'm out here on location looking at a roof that needs to be replaced. Here's your future weather forecast if you have a roof like this one. Brought to you by our new sponsor, Fontana Roofing. And they're right on time. Nice ladder.
What?
Eventually, you can expect heavy showers causing leaks, creating an interior water feature you neither anticipated or desired. Nickel-sized hail may develop, causing severe damage to the granules. And high winds are also possible, sending shingles airborne, like throwing stars hurled by a dangerous ninja.
What?
Also expect relentless heat waves, further deteriorating the roofing material. Protection from the elements starts by calling Fontana Roofing.
Who is this guy?
I don't know, but I like him.
Well, he needs to get off the roof.
Maybe he can do play-by-play on our expert roof replacement. How about it?
Yeah, sure. I'm better at sports. But first, a word from our sponsor, Fontana Roofing. Visit them at FontanaRoofingServices.com.
Welcome back to the Bill Meyer Show. 106.3 KMET, 99.3 KCMD.
7:45. State Senator Linthicum back on the case again. Senator live from Salem, and we're winding down, aren't we, Dennis? Welcome back.
Yeah, I don't know if that's good or bad. It's actually probably good. In the Republican caucus office, we have a grease board, and every day the message changes from 5 days left until Oregonians are free to 4 days left till Oregonians are free. And the idea being, free from the tyranny that comes from these, power-hungry politicians.
I think it's important to keep this in mind as we fight all these intrusions that are coming, not just in the state and the federal government, but even our local governments, such as county charter changes, which I was talking about with Kevin Starrett. And by the way, I'm going to have more on that with Mr. X, who was at the Jackson County for All meeting yesterday. And he always has an interesting take on it. But, you were mentioning to me that the challenge for Republicans here is to be effective and stand for principle and not just join in and help out the political opposition so much, because the political opposition does not have the best interest for we here in Southwest Oregon. Just doesn't. It just doesn't. I think that's where you're coming from. Isn't that mostly it?
Yeah, it's really kind of an interesting dilemma, because part of the, you know, part of being a member of the Senate is there's supposed to be this. Again, this is almost a constitutional founder ideology. Well, not even really. The founders were more than willing to throw stones at each other, but in the modern era, because we're so concerned about being polite and kind and courteous and whatnot, there's a collegiate idea that infiltrates all of your thought process. I want to work with so-and-so. I want to be polite to so-and-so. Like yesterday, all 13 Republicans voted against a bill that we just thought went too far with regard to animal abuse and gave too many rights to the police to, you know, book anybody for killing a deer on the highway. You know, and this is quite frankly true. It potentially is it's an illegal animal abuse act to kill a deer on the highway with your car. Let's say you were traveling on Highway 140 going from Klamath to Medford, and you are driving fast because the speed limit on that entire stretch is 55, and you're driving fast, and the deer, you know, you see the deer on the side of the road, you're aware of the deer, you don't think the deer's going to step out into the middle of the road, so you're still doing the speed that you're doing.
Yeah.
And you hit the idea. Now, this is knowing, and all of a sudden a car joins the highway flow. He was on the side of the road. He joins the highway flow. So now you intentionally hit the deer because you know you can't steer into the car. You would avoid the deer if you could, if that lane were open. You intentionally and knowingly hit the deer. You know you hit the deer.
Would the law, this law that Republicans voted against in the Senate, would it allow the cops to essentially cite you? For doing this?
Yeah, with that, with knowingly and intentionally. And that's the requirement. The phrase cruelly was...
Yeah, but how does the cop know? How does the police officer able to know that you intentionally hit the deer? Are you supposed to sacrifice yourself?
Everything you say can and will be used against you. It's not can and maybe. It's can and will be used against you. Huh. And, you know, and this is kind of nitpicky, you know, in the discussion, the truth was, well, you probably won't get prosecuted for that. I mean, this is deer country. And in fact, in the past, we've had, you know, roadside kill bills where that meat, instead of being just drug off into the dirt, could be used to provide food to minority populations in your metro area. And so there are all of these conflicting statutes, which is the point. The point is there's too many conflicting statutes. There are too many statutes. There's too much power being accumulated by the state. And as soon as a organization like the Democrat Party gets sole party rule, uniparty rule, whether it's a single party or a cross, you know, weave of power from the left of the right and from the left of the left, all of a sudden you've got this tapestry that you can't punch your way through. And all of these rules can then be, you know, brought up and brought against you. And it's the potential tyranny of the state. So Republicans did a great job. All 13 of us voted against this bill. And then Senator Prezansky stands up and says, well, I think this is a good bill. It ought to pass. I am supporting this bill to support Rep. Conrad. And now you see that there's this web – of support.
Now, is it Representative Conrad? Is this the same rep that Kevin Starrett was talking about a few minutes ago, that essentially the caucus supports him, but he's not really a strong Republican at all? Is that the guy that?
That's the same, you know, Charlie Conrad. And here's what it's not that Conrad's a bad man. In fact, this bill was a good bill, except for it went too far. You know, it struck the words cruelly out of the language, like you have to cruelly do this to the neighbor's cat. You can't accidentally hit the neighbor's cat and be convicted or be charged under this measure. And so because they took out a little bit of the language that would provide
some protection,
there is no protection. And because, and you and I started this conversation, not because I'm talking about, you know, one rep or another senator or whatever, because we're talking about how the collegiality, the joining together, the working together to get bills passed, laws passed, et cetera, creates this momentum that is really difficult to push back against. And at some point, Republicans get sucked into the machine and become part of the ball of wax because they don't stand by their foundational principles.
Is part of this, Senator Linthigam, that in essence the state legislature has become just adult student council, and you want to be part of the in team? It's like a human bonding experience, almost like the clique, so to speak. Any thoughts on that?
It certainly is like that. You know, think about it. There's only 30 senators. You know, so out of the entire state, 4.5 million people, and there's 30 individuals who have, I'll use this phrase, I'll use this phrase carefully, who have been chosen, right? Mm-hmm. And that's not necessarily true. The people, for example, would have chosen Dennis Linthicum to represent them in my district. They like my conservative point of view. They like my love of our nation.
Yeah, but democracy in that case is denied by the the state unions that pushed Measure 113, right? That kind of thing.
Right. Democrats exercise their power to make sure that we are not allowed on the ballot. So the Senate president, a Democrat, unilaterally pushed 10 Republicans off into the, ditch because they were in the middle of their road to success. And their road to success in this case was a transgender bill. Remember, this is cutting up the bits and pieces of what was a human being and taking parts away and putting other parts on and, malforming genitals on children without their parents' consent.
And this is a teachable moment here, Senator, that because Republicans voted for Measure 113. There were siren songs of do your job. And it's like nobody ever asked why you weren't there. You know, it's like very, very little conversation of that was because it was pushed by the unions. The unions, which wanted nothing but bloodthirsty total control and nobody pushing back against them. And if Republicans don't wise up and get smart about these intrusions, it's a doomed situation. If you don't get smart, you have to be smart about these things and understand it.
Well, and what makes it extremely difficult is that Republicans have long been the voice of accountability. We want to hold those guys accountable. And Democrats typically are the voice of
no judgment, no judgment, right?
Yeah, and a lack of transparency. So since Republicans are demanding transparency and accountability, it was easy for the left to use those two key words.
They played them, in other words. They played the people. They played the people.
That's right. They played the people, and Republicans said, that's right. I want to hold these guys accountable. I want to know what's going on in the Senate. I want to be a part of that, and I want to them to do their jobs. I don't like my tax money being wasted on people who are standing around leaning on their shovels. So they essentially played Republicans. They got this passed. And because it got passed.
And so some of the better, most principled senators are bounced out this time around. Now, likely, I'm praying that you're replaced with Diane Linthicum, you know, your spouse who has been your partner there for years, just right by your side and in this battle. That being said, though, you know, this idea that you can't let yourself be played. And that's why I'm saying at this point in time in the state of Oregon here, Senator Linthicum, if the Democrats want it, you almost have to just say no. If Democrats want charter changes in Jackson and Josephine County, you have to say no. If Democrats are wanting a bill in the state legislature, 99.9% of the time, you got to say no. If you're a Republican, I know it's kind of tough to talk about it in this collegiate attitude, which tends to get fostered. Where am I wrong, you know, on this?
Yeah, I think that's true. I think that's what actually makes there's a handful of Republicans who consistently vote no. The bill may sound good, but you know, if you look at the details, we have so much legislation. This is supposed to be a short session, and House Bill 4002, which is supposed to solve the 110 problem, won't solve the 110 problem for, you know, 5-10 years, if it does at all, because there are so many loose ends to it. There are so many holes. It would have been better off to actually to have a ballot measure and just repeal 110. And then if we wanted to go back to the drawing board, go back to the drawing board. But the Democrats knew that the ballot measure would be coming if they didn't, you know, act. So now you have Golden out in the Ashland area having a town hall explaining why 4002 is a good bill or what it will do or won't do. But you can walk through it. It's 75 pages long. Behavioral health happens to be mentioned in that bill 124 times. I counted them.
Yeah, behavioral health, in other words, hard left-wing mental health professionals taking care of this, right?
Well, yeah, and the counseling, the delicacy, the decency, the politeness, you know, that will come out of all of these training sessions or whatever, what do you get at the end of the day? And the egg has already been broken. My last newsletter was titled All the King's Men, and it was a play on all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty together again, because once you get an individual sucked into narcotics and you know, fentanyl or heroin or hard drugs, you'll rarely get them off. There's a handful of people who get off successfully, but they only do it through faith-based organizations or, you know, 12-step programs or things like that. They do not do it through state counseling.
Boy, that's a great quote to wrap this up this morning, Senator. I appreciate the call this morning. Always good checking in. And I guess next week we'll be talking about it'll be sine die, it'll be over, and we'll be semi-safe until next January.
Right.
Or February, I guess it'll be for the long
one.
That's
right. Just 3 more days until Oregonians are safe from the legislature.
Always appreciate the talk, though, Senator. Thanks so much, okay? Be well.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
State Senator Dennis Linthicum on the Bill Myers Show. This is KMED and KMED HD1 Eagle Point Medford, KCMD Grants Pass, Translator K294AS Ashland. We'll check news in just a moment. Brad just sent me a message. I think this is interesting. Linthicum, Republicans get sucked into the machine. Great quote and exactly right. So Republicans need to stop being sucked into the machine and going along to get along. And there's almost a point where at this point in Oregon government, if you're not obstructing or breaking the Democrat machine to just pass law after law after law, you're not really being effective. This is the Bill Myers Show.
Forever.